Thank you, guys.
Will you take questions on inflation then?
Let's move. Thank you. Thank you.
Do you think inflation is a political liability?
That's a great asset. More inflation. What a stupid son of a bitch.
Yeah, so that was the clip of our current president shitting on Peter Ducey. That was pretty good. I don't know, Brad. Decorum has left the White House. Not since Trump.
Decorum.
Yeah, not since Trump decorum. has it been so polite, right? Joe Biden.
I loved everything about that clip. I loved, first of all, the extremely flippant response, like just completely like if that had just been the response, like if it had just been like, no, more inflation. That's
right, you
that's
dickhead.
What I want. That'll be better, you idiot. Like that would have been awesome. Then, of course, you know, Joe Biden coming in hot on the hot mic. Classic Biden. A classic gaffe. It took this long. I'm frankly shocked that it took this long to get to
Gaffetown. So. That is one of my biggest things about the Biden administration is they have been able to pull him down, like to keep him on the straight and narrow for a whole year before he calls someone a stupid son of a bitch on a microphone.
I would like to think before this press avail that he did for like 2 hours, by the way, like all the press people like bitching about him not doing a press conference, then he gets up for 2 hours and does like the longest one ever. Like he probably went to like Jen Psaki beforehand and he's like, I got to behave myself, don't I? She's like, I'll tell you what, like if Peter Ducey asks you a dumb question, like just this one time as a
let him rip. Yeah. Let him rip. He was like,
we'll deal with the chaff, but yeah, you could just let it rip on Peter Ducey because that guy fucking sucks.
She's like, I destroy his life every day. You get one too, Mr. President. You earned it.
And I enjoyed the predictable pearl clutching that came right from the right, as if the last 5 years didn't, or the last 6 years didn't happen.
Right, and not only that, like. Dude, Trump, like, quite literally made fun of handicap reporters. I mean, quite literally. No, he didn't. Yes, he did. Okay. Like, let alone all of the other horrendous shit he said. He called African countries shithole countries. I mean, I can't even go down the list, you know, starting out his entire campaign by calling Mexicans rapists, right? Like, it's amazing how the right fakes this, like, oh, they're so outraged by this. But if Trump had done this, oh, he's telling it like it is.
Yeah.
He's telling it like it is.
Well, and so telling, they're like, oh, Trump never lost his temper and swore at Jim Acosta. It's like, no, he just tried to get his press pass revoked. Be able to report on what was going on.
No, he did, and they gave it back,
yes,
if I recall.
Yes,
right? Like, he actually did get it done. And then they were like, nah, you can't. Just because Jim Acosta is asking a real question, you can't do that. Like, that's insane.
And again, it also does not acknowledge on their side, like, the question that Peter Ducey asked is literally the dumbest question I've ever heard.
Yeah, it's pretty ridiculous.
By a quote-unquote journalist that Peter Ducey claims to be.
So do you think more inflation's good? Yeah,
you know, like you think less inflation would help your approval rating? Gee, I wonder, Peter. Let me mull that one over, and I'll get back to you later.
Right? Like, so. Do you think if you gave away free chocolate in cash, that'd do well for you? Yeah, maybe. Yeah, I hadn't thought of that. Thanks. Shut up, dude. And the thing that really made this work for me was that the White House put it in the readout.
And again, just the hits just kept on coming. They leaned into it. That's what I'm saying. Like, Jen
Psaki
had to know that this was going to happen. And she's just like, we're just going to let it rock. Like, this is going to be great.
Now Biden did come out and apologize. I wouldn't have apologized for nothing. I would have been like, fuck that guy. Whatever. Who cares? You get to ask another question, but like, you're a stupid son of a
Look,
and I want you
here's
to know
the thing.
That.
I didn't even know he apologized. That news did not even make it to my ears. So again, the lasting memory is gonna be the son of a bitch comment, and not the fact that he came back around and apologized after the fact.
Also, you know, predictably, Glenn Greenwald,
of course,
liberal, why people believe that is crazy to me. He has decided that this is his time to really, take it to, you know, presidential powers and abusing the media, right? Where he made the comparison that, you know, in Germany, they used to call the press Lügenpresse. Like, yeah, dude. Where have you been the last 4 years, or the last 4 years of the Trump administration? Like they were quite literally calling the news fake news. Like, that's what they were doing. But yeah, of course, it's Joe Biden who is the real assault on the media. All right, dude. All right. Like, you know, Glenn Greenwald is a clown. He is an absolute clown. Like, and he should not be listened to by anyone. Like. Look, I get it. Like, you used to think he was, like, super liberal because he would call it the Bush administration. And then he was like, I'm just going to just start saying the wackiest shit ever. Please come to my Substack or whatever.
I mean, that's really what it is, right? Like the direct correlation between him leaving The Intercept and then him becoming a complete, like, right-wing wackadoo with the Substack is it's a direct straight line. Like, it's not like we have to think too hard about how we got to this point with Glenn Greenwald. I would not be surprised if he was taking lessons from his bro Tucker Carlson,
who he goes on his show.
That's what I'm saying. Like just being as ridiculous as possible, for the outrage clicks, to boost himself. That's it. Yeah. That's all. Yeah, I think it's just a grift. Just a grift.
Yeah, there aren't as many grifters on the so-called left, but they do exist. Sometimes they make $30,000 a month on a podcast, where they, you know, where they express their bad faith.
I feel like you're coming at them with bad faith, Jay.
Yeah, I am. Yeah. Like, the name is supposed to be ironic. It's not supposed to be what you actually do. I'm just saying. Jesus Christ. Like, crooked media isn't full of actual crooks, guys. Like, that's the joke. that's the joke, is that they are stand-up people. But not you, not the two of you jackasses. So yeah, look, I loved it. I love watching Joe Biden shit on Peter Ducey. I'm a huge fan of Jen Psaki doing it at every press conference. It's one of my daily kinks, frankly. If I catch the video, I'm like, oh look, oh, is she kicking a man in the balls on TV? Can't wait.
You would think at one point, like, if you just kept getting clowned on a daily basis, that you would probably think of better questions.
Yeah, just shut up, dude.
Shut. Yeah, like, just like, shutting up. Shutting up is free.
Shutting up is absolutely free.
How would he Meghan McCain his way onto Fox and Friends when his dad decides to retire? If he's not out there getting his profile raised.
That's absolutely. You're 100% correct. I wouldn't doubt that. That's the impetus for all of this bizarro, stupid question behavior. Ooh, maybe I'll be on the biggest news show in the morning. How?
I frankly wouldn't mind him getting his own, like, primetime hour. And like it's 10 o'clock. It's time to take a deucey. Like,
welcome to the deuce. I'm your host, Peter Deucey. Oh my god, that is a really unfortunate name. Very, very unfortunate. But accurate. It's crazy accurate. All right, let's jump right into it this week. Stephen Breyer, Supreme Court Justice, does the bare minimum to save democracy, as you would say.
That's what I said earlier.
To
be fair, I don't know what more he could have done besides exactly this. Like, this is all he really needed to do.
Yeah, but you kind of wait until the last minute, dude. You could have been like, you should have been out of there. You should have been out of there years ago. But you should have been out of there, I don't know, 9 months ago, dude. Like, oh, Joe Biden, you're president? All right, I got to get the fuck out of here. Like,
yeah,
be done with it, dude. Come on, knock it off.
And also, don't antagonize us. Like, last summer, when you're walking around, like, I don't know why these people tell me I should retire. Fuck them. Like, I'll go out when I want to go out, goddammit. And we're just like, this is causing a lot of panic. Like, this is causing a lot of fucking angst that I don't need right now.
Yeah, we do not need that bullshit. You need to go. Yeah. Like, I'm sure Ruth Bader Ginsburg, close to the end of her life, deeply regretted not leaving when she should have. And then she got replaced by a fucking psycho. So that's cool. So Stephen Breyer says he's going to retire from the Supreme Court at the end of this SCOTUS session, which I don't know when that is, but that's probably June. Is it June? I was going to say just a couple of months. Cool. That's great. Look, Joe Biden said during the run-up, during the primary, that he was dedicated to hiring or nominating a black woman to the Supreme Court, since we have never had one. And I don't know, guys. Seems overdue. Seems a little overdue, but you know, I don't know. I'm biased, I guess, because I have eyes and I'm black. But so that seems to be likely going to be happening sooner rather than later, which is dope. Good. There is a woman who, where do I have the article here? Her name is Judge Kentaja Brown Jackson, who seems to be the heir apparent for that seat. Couple things about her, which I found to be super interesting. She actually was confirmed to the federal trial court in D.C. in 2013. She's been there for 8 years. And then Biden put her on the U.S. Court of Appeals in the D.C. Circuit. But what's interesting is she also wrote a 100-page opinion against the Trump White House counsel, Don McGahn, to comply with a House Judiciary Committee subpoena to testify as part of the first impeachment inquiry of Trump. She wrote in that 100-page opinion, quote, presidents are not kings, which was a big line that made waves, according to this article. But she's a Harvard Law graduate, worked as assistant federal public defender in the District of Columbia. Look, we need more public defenders. Like, we do, because those are people who deal with, like, real regular people shit. Now, she's not, like, a low-level public defender. She was assistant federal public defender, but a public defender nonetheless, right? Mm-hmm. We don't need a bunch of people coming from big corporate law firms always to be sitting on the Supreme Court. It's nice to have more people who are sort of working for the people. So
in general, you should want a diverse set of views, not from a political perspective, from a life experience perspective.
Yep.
Sitting on that bench as much as you possibly can, because the Supreme Court, much like any electorate, or much like any elected body, and the Supreme Court is not technically an elected body, but it's a de facto elected body because the people that you elect decide who gets there. You want that to be representative of the population as a whole. So the fact that it is currently constituted of 8 white people and 1 Hispanic person and 7 men, or sorry, 6 men and 3 women right now, seems a little wrong. And you want to kind of balance those things out and make it as, you know, representative as the country as you possibly can.
Absolutely. So. Here's an interesting little breakdown of the Supreme Court. Of the 115 judges to date who served on the Supreme Court, 108 of them are white men, 4 are white women, 2 are black men, 1 Latin woman. White men make up 30% of the U.S. and are 94% of the SCOTUS appointments. The rest of America is 70% of the U.S. and represent 6% of the SCOTUS. So there you go.
Yeah. So now that being said, whoever Biden does nominate, unless it's like Hillary Clinton, is probably going to probably cruise. Because I saw an interesting...
Dude, I don't even think Hillary Clinton would get a problem. Like, just to piss off Republicans? I think Democrats would be like, go ahead. That's fine. Well, no, she's too old. That's the problem.
I think any just, like, regular run-of-the-mill justice... Here's an interesting opinion for you that I saw bandied about, and I think it makes a lot of sense. Not only are you going to get easily, like, the 50 Democrats to vote on it, because they've been just kind of rubber-stamping all the federal nominations that Joe Biden's made so far.
Including Manchin and Sinema, for people who are worried about that.
Yeah. I think you'd get a lot of Republicans to go along with it as well, honestly. And here's why. Because you're not changing the balance of the court with this vote. You're taking a liberal justice and replacing them with another liberal justice, ostensibly. Right. Doesn't change anything. Republicans still will have a 6-3, or conservatives will still have a 6-3 advantage on the court. And so Republicans might vote in favor of this, like a lot of them will, just so that they can then say, oh, look, when Joe Biden had a Supreme Court nomination, like we voted for it, no problem. Like I think they'll use it to put a, you know, to do some press, some PR spin.
Yeah, I think that's a pretty good thought process. Like, and for them, it's only, that's just gravy, right? Because they get to play it in the press, but they also get to, when they put up a psycho next time, they're like, hey, you got your black lady. We gave you the black lady. Like
we voted for her.
Yeah,
for the black lady.
Hey, we were cool with it. Now put Donald Trump on the Supreme Court. It's like, all right, well, fuck. All right, fine, right? So, yeah, I think it's a smart move. But there's definitely going to be people who in the Republican Party, they can't help themselves.
Oh, no doubt. Like Ron Johnson, Rand Paul, like those fucking assholes aren't going to vote yay on it no matter what. I'm talking about the Republicans that try to portray themselves as like reasonable, normal folks, reasonable. Right. Even as far as like Lindsey Graham and things of that nature. Like Ted Cruz would be one that it would be like a borderline kind of thing. Like I can see Cruz being smart enough to vote in favor to be able to be like, look, I did it for your guy, but I can also see him like not wanting to lose his conservative bona fides. Then he has to go, you know, take his lashings on the Tucker Carlson hour again.
Why'd you do it?
To justify it.
Yeah, but that's an interesting theory. And if I was Republicans, I would agree with you. I'd be like, yeah, just vote her in. Who gives a shit? It doesn't change anything for us. Like the only thing you lose is that like some racist is like, I can't believe you put a black chick on the Supreme Court, and they wouldn't say chick, you know that.
Yeah. And then someone would have, like, if they did vote, like most of the, let's say like, you know, 35 of them voted for her, they'd have to put a muzzle on Donald Trump because Donald Trump would go out there and say something fucking stupid after the fact.
Even though, dude, again, the second this black woman is nominated is going to be on.
Yeah.
Well,
again, they're losing nothing. Like they lose nothing in this situation. It just maintains the status quo that's in there, that's to their advantage currently.
Right. And look, maybe that's a good thing. Like, maybe that's a good thing to get, to let the real piece of shits, like, say some wild shit. So Democrats can be like, oh, yeah, that's right. I almost forgot. Midterms are coming up. Fuck these people. Right? Like, maybe. You know, so I don't know. But that does, I think the logic squares. Like I think reasonable or wanting to seem reasonable Republicans would come to the table and be like, yeah, that's cool. Look, remember, you mentioned Lindsey Graham. Like, yeah, Lindsey Graham gave Sonia Sotomayor, like he gave her the fucking business, right? Mm-hmm. But he voted for her, right? Like, and that was the thing with Graham that drives me crazy. Like, you're not dumb. Like, Graham is not a dumb guy. He's a piece of shit, but he's not dumb. Like, he was making all that, hey, why'd you say you could be a Latin woman and that was different? He knows what she meant. This guy was a fucking jag, dude. Like, he's not a dummy, dude. He's not at all. But he had to play that role and play that shit up, right? Like, that felt like very old school congressional nonsense of like, I'm just fucking with you. Let's go have a beer afterwards, right? When the cameras are off. But, like, Graham, I think, actually would operate like that. Like, until Trump came around, then he, like, lost his fucking mind forever, which was weird. But back in the day, that's what he would do. Like, he'd give you a hard time, and then he's like, I mean, of course I'm going to vote for you. Like, you're like, whatever. Yeah. It's just a fucking Supreme Court justice.
No reason not to.
But like, even if it changed the dynamic of the court, if you're talking a 50-50 vote, and the Democrats have 50 votes, what are you fighting? Right, like Democrats are like, yeah, we're all in line. All right, like especially when you're talking about if you want to appear to not be a racist piece of shit, and you're like, oh yeah, no, I want to be on the right side of history. It's like, yeah, but all of these other things you did, they're like, I know, but I voted for the black chick, so that gives it, that absolves me from blocking voting rights. Like it's fine, right? So that's how they play it, and I could see Graham and other people playing it exactly like that. Right,
and
so.
And again, the press would fucking fall for it, hook, line,
of course
sinker.
They would.
You get all these stories in the Times, like, oh, like, could this be the return of true bipartisanship to the Senate? Like, oh, we're looking to see signs of working together. Could we see, you know, Like, is this the look ahead to a brighter future? And I'm just like, you guys are so fucking dumb. Like you guys are so fucking easy to take the dumbest bait possible. Like, you want so badly for Republicans to be reasonable again that you're just willing to try to will it into existence,
basically. Yeah. Is this the one time she's going to hold the football so I can kick it? Is this going to be it? Yeah, Charlie Brown, this is it. Oh, no. Like, yeah. Hey, dude, Lucy's definitely going to move the football, you moron. Like, that happens every time. They're not reasonable. That's their whole thing. The whole thing is like, we're unreasonable. That's their whole argument.
it's literally what we built our brand on. So
yeah, these are the people we are. So speaking of unreasonable, apparently Trump planned to have the military seize voting machines during the 2020 election. Ruh-roh. I guess they didn't want this shit to get out. So apparently in some documents that were obtained by the Jan 6 committee, they actually wanted – Representative Benny Thompson was on Face the Nation, and he said, quote, if you're using the military to potentially seize voting machines, the public needs to know. The order that they found, complete with dotted line ready for Trump's signature – would have directed the Secretary of Defense to, quote, seize, collect, retain, and analyze all machines, equipment, electronically stored information, and material records required for retention. The draft order provided 7 days for the Secretary of Defense to issue an initial assessment and 60 days for a final assessment, giving Trump power well into February, as this was sort of hashed out. We have no idea how close we were to a complete fucking meltdown of our democracy.
Mm-hmm.
This close.
Had they been able to get away with it? Sure. There's a lot of stuff that we see could have been done there. But yeah, super fun, super awesome stories popping out of the woodwork here. Also really enjoyed Ivanka Trump getting asked to come before the committee and Trump lamenting that fact, saying they're going after children. Speaking in reference to his 40-year-old adult daughter,
who was
senior advisor on his White House, but
okay,
the kids. Won't someone think of the children?
Jay? Yeah, someone think of my 48-year-old kids. Like, shut up, dude, get out of here. What's interesting to me about this? It doesn't mention it in this article. I was trying to find it elsewhere. The report that they got, this order is like order number 13 or something. But there's another order, like Order 21, that we didn't even know existed. Yeah, Order 66. Yeah, might as well be. Kill all Democrats. Like, oh, no. But it's like Order 21, which is apparently under top secret clearance or some shit like that, that they're trying to get access to, which like supposedly really details a lot more of this shit. Dude. Like, I think it was like,
why did you write it down? What are you doing?
I guess the protocol is you have to, right? Like, because it was like referencing something else in that document. And it was funny because I think it was like Stephen Colbert had a whole skit about it. He was like, Order 13. He was like, Order 13 that we knew about. And he's like, and then it references Order 21. He was like, which we didn't know about, which would be like getting a Christmas card from your parents that said, love mom, dad, and your actual dad. Like, what is in that document? Like, holy shit. I didn't know that. That is pretty serious. But it like, look, this is, you know, the Supreme Court came out this week or last week, late last week, and said, like, look, we are basically knocking down another attempt at blocking information from January 6th.
All except for one.
We'll see.
And I'm saying all except for one justice agreed.
Oh, yes, with that
opinion. You'll be shocked to learn that the justice who disagreed happened to be one whose wife might have also been at least tangentially involved with the January 6th insurrection. Maybe not involved in the planning, but certainly promoting it from the sidelines.
You'll be shocked to learn. Look,
how the fuck is he allowed to be a Supreme Court justice right now? Like, how was he ever allowed?
How was he ever allowed?
Yes, but like,
we're talking about Clarence Thomas, by the way, and his wife, Jeannie Thomas.
Yeah, yeah. How have we not had a serious, at least, conversation in the Senate, in the House about impeaching Clarence Thomas?
I don't know, but I think Jeannie Thomas is yet another example that Micah would use about not trusting white women. I don't know. And I think it's because she's the wife of a Supreme Court justice, and it feels mean to go after her, though it is 1,000% justified.
Yeah, like, but if Jeannie Thomas was like special envoy to like a foreign country, like there might be an issue with Clarence Thomas being on the Supreme Court still. You know what I mean? It's silly to say, oh, well, it's his wife. It's not him. Like,
oh, yeah, no, I'm not saying this. I'm saying that that's probably the thought process of like.
I'm saying it's silly for people to have that thought process.
Yeah.
Like, oh,
yeah,
like, well, she's not the one on the court. Like, yeah, but they fucking talk, right? Like, and I'm sure that they have a lot of the same beliefs and things of that nature. What are you going to tell me? They just don't talk politics? Yeah, we don't talk politics at home. Yeah.
Yeah, just like Trump and his kids. They don't talk about the business.
Yeah.
Yeah, right. That's on my kids. It's enough. Blind trust, right?
Okay. I mean, even Alito was like, "Nah, like we're not even." I mean, and Alito sucks.
Yeah, like, he does.
Alito is literally the worst.
I gotta tell you, man. I know it feel. I know it feels like it was. It feels like it's gonna be a really long time. Yo, Sam Alito is 71 years old.
But that's not that old. That's not that old. He's got another. I mean, Stephen Breyer's 82. He's got Stan Alito's got at least 10 good years left, and so does Clarence Thomas.
No, I don't think Clarence Thomas has 10 years left. Nah, yo. He won't go.
I'm not saying they're going to stay there for 10 years. Like, they'll stay exactly as long as it takes for Republicans to get unified control of the federal government, and then they can exit to ensure that someone equally shitty but 25 years younger comes in, you know, behind them on the bench. But they're not dying like tomorrow, I don't think.
No, I'm just saying, like, the idea of, like, because it feels like Sam Alito has been there a long time. Like, I remember when he was put on the court, it was like, oh, fuck, this guy's gonna be there for like 1,000 years. Nah, yo, he's 71, he's not gonna be that much longer. Like, 10 years, 10 years is like, if Joe Biden gets reelected, like, that's another, what are we in, we just finished what, the first year? Mm-hmm. Right, like, yeah, Joe Biden potentially has another 7 years, right, of his presidency left. That puts Sam Alito at 78. Like,
yeah, but if he doesn't, but if we don't have the Senate the entire time, then it really doesn't fucking matter.
No, I'm just talking about the idea of these guys at least being in the rotation to get replaced. Like, gotcha. Now, granted, we have to fight back so that they don't get the court, or they don't have control, unified control, so that, you know, like you said, Sam Alito isn't replaced by Sam Alito Jr., who's 30 and is like somehow even more conservative, right? But yeah, he's 71, so I don't know, man. It's not crazy to think that these guys are not going to be around forever. But yeah, it's I don't know. The entire thing of Trump trying to use the military to seize voting machines and to grant himself 60 days of power is weird. My guess is whatever's in that order 21 or order 66 or whatever it is, lays out some pretty dark shit about like some new enumerated powers, which is probably why we have not seen it yet. Mm-hmm. But we will. So it's only a matter of time. Like, the Supreme Court,
but not to,
they don't want to be in the middle of this shit for too long, dude. They don't.
But not to be a downer about this, though, but even if that does make it to the light of day, what tangible difference does it actually make?
Like, it doesn't
like,
make
like, how does that actually, yeah, it that's what I'm saying. Like, it's not going to actually move the needle in any appreciable way, which is really fucking frustrating, because the voters that you need to see this stuff and to understand what it means aren't getting it fed to them because their preferred media is ignoring all of this shit completely. Yeah. Like they're not even being like, oh, look at this shit. This is bullshit. They're just not even talking about it. They're too busy talking about fucking sexy candy and things of that nature. Oh, yes. We'll talk about that later in the episode. Don't you think that we that we're ignoring that?
What kind of show do you think we are? We're definitely going to talk about that guy fucking. You know what? Never mind. We'll save it. That's for this weekend, stupid, and we're going to be assholes about it. Because fuck him. Stroking it to candy. Get out of here. Look, you know, seizing voting machines and everything else, this has everything to do with all of the rollbacks and all of the, you know, voter suppression shit that's going on too, right? Like, because they couldn't steal this last election, so now they have to figure out how do we try to secure it a different way, right? Seemingly in a reasonable way. Well, during a press conference
It was mid last week. I think it was like the day after we recorded last week.
Of course it was. So during a press conference, Chuck Schumer took a question from someone. I don't really know their name because they're dead now. because Amy Klobuchar decided, she was like, step aside, Chuck. I got this. So we're going to play a little game.
She came at them with the rage that she would normally reserve for someone serving her a salad without a fork.
Am I supposed to eat this with a fucking comb? Oh, Jesus. All right, relax. Amy, Senator. So we'll play a little fun game. Whenever we get to a part of this where we should pause, you have something to say, Brad, just let me know, and I will pause as well. So here you go. Here's Chuck Schumer. It's going to be a little hard. I'm going to try to pump the volume up a little bit for this woman's question. So here you go.
Mail-in ballots, drop boxes, those are among some of the provisions that are in this bill. However, those started off as pandemic-related measures back in the day, and they were supposed to be temporary. How exactly did they fight racism at the time if they were supposed to be temporary and they weren't going
to... Okay, whoa. First of all
right, before Amy comes in, like, one, she tagged herself in. She was like, yo, I got
she
this.
She did.
Yo, Chuck Schumer didn't even go like, hey, you don't want to do this?
Yeah, that is literally when you have like the mismatched tag team in WWE and the one partner goes to the corner, the other one just slaps their back. She's like, all right, get the fuck out of here. Like, I'm going to work. Right, I'm going to work on this fucking bitch.
It's like, did Rey Mysterio Jr. ask a question? Yeah, I'm the Undertaker. I'm going in. Like, wow, this seems unfair. It seems very outmatched. So if you couldn't quite hear what she said, she basically said, hey, you know, this like... mail-in voting and things like that, you know, these were set up for the pandemic, but you guys are saying that it's racist to get rid of those things. How is rolling back the things for the pandemic racist? And Amy Klobuchar was like, step aside, Chuck. I got this.
With a shotgun in her hand.
Yeah. And then, she proceeds to walk to the mic.
I'm about to go medieval on this woman.
I'm about to ruin this woman's whole career. Good Lord. This is amazing. So Amy Klobuchar from the fucking top rope. Frog splash right off the top.
Mail-in balloting has been the way of voting in the state of Utah. It hasn't been temporary, and that is one red state. Do you want me to, are you talking or am I? I'm talking.
Oh, stop. that's the other bad part too. Like, you're gonna, you just saw her getting warmed up. Like, you're going to try to interrupt her? At that moment in time, like, that seems like a bad move.
Look, I gotta say, she took a little feather out of Vice President Kamala Harris's cap. Like, I'm speaking. Like, shut the fuck up. Right?
If you're
like,
asking a question, I'm fucking answering it. Shut up.
Shut your mouth. Shut it. I'm talking. It was amazing. All right, here we go. Continue to fuck him up, baby.
Mail-in balloting has been the way of life in many, many states, red, blue, and purple. And one of the things we've learned from the pandemic is that it's actually incredibly helpful in a pandemic, but it's also made it easier for people to vote. So what has gone on in some states?
Warnock's behind her, like, nodding his head, like, if it wasn't this setting, like, because it's him, like, I'm just imagining me, like, oh, man. Like, testify.
I'm 100% okay with that. he should have yelled out testify. That's all. Amy, get the tables. Like, oh shit.
states is they've rolled back the very things that will make it easier to vote, leading to more and more, as I pointed out, confusion. The other thing it's important to know, and the reason I use the example of Montana and same-day registration, is they are also rolling back things that have long been the law in states. They basically, to quote a North Carolina court regarding a law a few years ago, are discriminating with surgical precision by looking at each state and figuring out, how did more people vote this way? Well, let's change that. Oh, 70,000 people registered to vote in the state of Georgia during the runoff period. So let's do two things. Let's reduce the runoff period, which they have done, Senator Warnock, and then let's not allow same-day registration, not same-day, registration during that period. That's exactly.
These parts right there. She is doing something that I think is incredibly smart. Besides just ripping this woman's fucking throat out on national TV, which is awesome, she's doing nothing but spitting facts. She's not giving you any opinion. She's hitting you with but easily digestible facts.
And more importantly, tying it back to, like, she's like, it's not like this is shit that's just happening in blue states. Like, she's pulling out state, right. Red state examples of, like, hey, they did this stuff, no problem, but now they're rolling it back. Gee, I wonder why. Like I wonder what precipitated this.
Right.
Exactly what they've done. So I can give you numerous examples of both ways. They've rolled back things that they changed during the pandemic, like witnesses for mail-in ballots in South Carolina. Then they took that away. And things that were put in place even before the pandemic. But no matter which way they did it, it all adds up to one thing, and that is voter suppression and limiting people's freedom to vote.
And voter suppression aimed...
Now stop here. So you guys might remember a couple of years ago when the second time a government shutdown was being threatened during the Trump administration, Trump thought it would be a good idea to bring in Chuck Schumer and Nancy Pelosi into the Oval Office with cameras to show him negotiating with them, because he thought that he would,
disaster.
You know, be able to look like a fucking big strong guy, like negotiating with the Democrats. He's like, I'm gonna amaze them with the art of the deal, and
the art of the deal
just through mere competence. Like, Chuck Schumer and Nancy Pelosi beat him down so badly that he was like, to them, tell you what. Like, Chuck, like, if you guys want to, you can call it the Trump shutdown. It's my fault. Like you can blame it all on me. And literally when that happened, Chuck Schumer turned to the camera that was in the Oval Office in real time and was basically like, I can't believe this guy just fucking said that. Like, you heard him though. Like, you heard him say it. My point is, Chuck Schumer knows when something is about to pop off, like, and go viral on the internet. And he knows that this is one of those times. So Chuck Schumer has to come in, wrapping up after Amy Klobuchar decimates this reporter.
Now, all of what you said, 100%. I also want you to pay attention to what Chuck does the second he gets done talking, because he gives a fucking stare down at that reporter. It is awesome.
General population, but at particular populations, particularly people of color, urban people, etc. Oregon, just state students, young people. Oregon has had mail-in voting for 30 years, long before the pandemic, ma'am. It also has the highest or second highest after Minnesota percentage of people participating. Isn't it good to have a high percentage of people participating?
You dumbass.
I knew you'd get the last question.
Look at that fucking stare, dude. He's just looking staring her down. That shit was awesome. I love that. Like, isn't it good for people to be participating? Huh? Like, that, you know, that woman was
also, like how did Cory Booker resist, like, a moment like this, like him just, like, being ripping his mask off and being and just getting, like, wide eyed, like, I can't, like, this is absolutely true. Everywhere you go, this is a problem. This is a huge problem that we need to solve. Like, it's everything he can do to restrain himself. All eyes bulging out of his head,
that's
like,
right.
Screaming into the camera. So
who doesn't love a Cory Booker freak out moment at the end? But yeah, no, Schumer's 100% right. Right, like this idea of, I mean, look, I like, besides all of the facts that they said, which are correct, and they nailed it, right? They super nailed it. You know, shout out to Amy Klobuchar, especially on that. If this was the Amy Klobuchar who ran in 2016, she might, or 2020, she might have had a real run for it. She might have.
Yeah, she Hillary Clinton, she Hillary'd it up a little too much.
She did.
On the primary trail.
I mean, and she's not the greatest on the stump, because even like while she's just fucking destroying that woman, like her voice is kind of shaky, right? Like she's more of a like get in there, get shit done type of politician. She's not so much a out front kind of, you know, hot speech leader type of politician. But she's one of those type of politicians that's like, oh, is shit getting done? Like Amy Klobuchar's in the room, right? Because she was kicking the shit out of that lady over and over again with nothing but facts. So yeah, like I know people gave her a hard time during the race. I just didn't think she gave a strong performance. But there was a couple times like later in that primary where she was kind of starting to bubble up and get a little bit of fire behind her. That's the kind of Amy Klobuchar shit I would like to see. Not necessarily running for president, but more of that. I'll take a weekly press conference in Republicans to have Amy Klobuchar beat them to death for a half hour.
Yeah, like not knock off the fucking sloganeering bullshit. Like she liked to spin a line, but it all ended like Pokemon Go to the polls kind of bullshit. Like that's not going to get you there. Just be who you are. I do appreciate Democrats being much more forceful, seemingly here recently against just dumb fucking questions.
Yeah,
from the press corps, like questions that I guess the press feels like they need to answer to remain, quote, fair and balanced, as if they can't see what's happening with their fucking eyes. Anyway, we don't know who that reporter was that asked that question. They could have been from like a right wing place and just was asking a dumb fuck question. But ask better questions. And again, like if this isn't proof, like, do you think Thugs of News would ask such a stupid question?
No way, dude.
To Amy Klobuchar? Not at all.
No, I'm terrified of her. Are you kidding me? No. But it is a stupid question if you understand anything about voting history in this country. Like, again, you have red states that have been doing mail-in voting. Why is it okay for those people? Like, you have to, like, folks may not realize this, but Republicans ran into this issue before, right? Because they, during the 2020 election, where they were telling people, they'd go on the news, oh, mail-in voting is the worst, don't use it. But then the Republican Party, the RNC, would be sending out documents to elderly Republicans, like, remote voting, like, please do it, because that's how they get people, mail-in voting was how they get their numbers up. So why is it okay then, but it like in the on the back end, but they're telling a mixed message otherwise, right? So
because for the first time pretty much ever, it worked against them. Because traditionally, like they had been the mail-in voting party. Like they had been the ones that had always profited from it. But all of a sudden, you open it up to the unwashed masses, as it were, in the Democratic Party, and now it becomes a weapon that could be utilized against them. So they have to do everything they can to shut it down. Again, the Republicans Party MO is and pretty much always has been, for all intents and purposes, make voting as difficult as possible for anyone that's not going to vote for you. Like that's pretty much what it boils down to.
Absolutely. Like it's I like the idea of states not having mail-in voting is so stupid to me. Like that shit was so convenient.
Yeah.
This past
and I'll go so a step convenient. Further. Like everyone, it should be a national law.
It should
to
be.
Adopt the Colorado policy of not only do we have mail-in voting, we'll mail you a fucking ballot anyway, even if you don't ask for it. Like if you're registered to vote, we'll mail you a ballot. You can fill it out and return it if you want or not. Up
or
to
don't.
You, but we're going to put it in your hands. So.
Yeah. I don't understand Republicans. Well, I do understand their argument against it, which is like, I don't want people voting. that's a terrible idea. But it was super easy. It's super convenient. Like, you know, I mean, I'm not a ballot harvester like Brad over here, who took him and his wife's thing and put it in the box together like a criminal. So stupid. Ballot harvesting. That's not ballot harvesting, you psychos. Someone's like, oh, I'm gonna report them. Report me. Like it's dumb. But yeah, it is the obvious thing to do is to give more people access to the ballot. Like it's like there's no reason why every time there's an election Georgians are in, excuse me, black Georgians, for the most part, are in lines for 8 hours. It's ridiculous. Do mail-in ballots. They can just, or you can just say, like, you got to drop them off. I don't care. Like, make them drop them off, whatever. Or Texas.
Again,
we have one drop box in all of the county that Houston is in. With, like,
that's what I was going to say. I want to remind people that Houston, what, the fifth, sixth largest city?
Yeah, dude, it's
in
huge.
The country, had one drop box. Why? Because it's majority black. That's why.
Yep.
Well, I don't even know if it's majority black. There's the high, a high pop.
It's a very high population of black people. Right. Like, yeah. All the black people live in Houston for the most part. But then California had the fake drop boxes. Mm-hmm. Remember those? Like, what happened to that? Somebody go to jail? Because someone should have gone to big boy jail for that. Right? Like, like, but that's crazy. That's crazy, man. That's super crazy. And somehow, like, somehow you could drop off a fake drop box. They find it, and there's no footage of anything of someone doing this. I find that to be bullshit. I find it to be bullshit. No one could figure this out. Get Columbo on the job. I don't know, Perry Mason. Someone could have figured this shit out.
I guess Columbo would figure it out.
Yeah, that's right. Somebody. I don't know, one of those old guys my grandmother used to watch on TV in the morning.
Matlock.
Matlock would have figured it out. I'm just a Southern lawyer. It's not getting too good for your boy Matt Gaetz. Things are getting even worse for Matt Gaetz and his sex pest shenanigans. Last week, I believe we talked about how Matt Gaetz' ex-girlfriend has now gotten full immunity. So that's not good. Now, Florida shock jock in Matt Gaetz' circle pleads guilty. Big Joe Ellicott, a former Florida shock jock.
Yeah, I was about to say, can we pronounce his last name correctly? Because we say that word very differently than the rest of the country says it.
Ellicott City?
Yeah.
Is it Ellicott? Ellicott. Okay.
It's pronounced Ellicott in Maryland. I don't think everyone else pronounces it that way.
Everyone else pronounces it Ellicott, I would assume.
Yeah, they do.
Yeah. We're Ellicott City. Because where we're from, people are dumb. Big Joe Ellicott, a former Florida shock jock with potentially key information about the sex trafficking ring involving Representative Matt Gaetz, has pled guilty in federal court. Oops. Ellicott is the longtime best friend of corrupt Florida tax official Joel Greenberg. Oops. who was Gaetz's wingman in the underage sex operation, according to several sources with direct knowledge of their relationship. Last year, the Daily Beast revealed that Ellicott knew intimate details about the teenage girl who was paid for sex by the group, and actually texted what essentially amounted to a confession that they were scrambling to try and cover up details about their 17-year-old sex from the feds. Dude, everybody is going to throw this guy under the bus. What is Kevin McCarthy going to do?
Absolutely nothing.
No, you don't think so?
No, God, are you kidding me? Come on. Matt Gaetz wields more power in the Republican Party than Kevin McCarthy does right now.
Oof. You're not wrong.
Tell me I'm lying. I'm about to say.
Nah, yeah, you're not wrong. Marjorie Taylor Greene has more power.
Yeah. That whole every single one of those fucking lunatics that's in that weird fucking Trump caucus, like Paul Gosar and people of that nature, like they wield more influence in Republican politics than Kevin McCarthy does, just because they're bros with Trump. Like that's the thing right now. Is that sad. that's I will tell you, the most disturbing thing about this story for me is that in my very, very early 20s, like, I had this exact same haircut as this dude in the picture.
Oh, I was
so,
gonna say, Brad, like, what are you about to confess? that guy? Like, oh yeah, Brad, that, don't do it.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it didn't last past, you know, like 21.
Still, I'm gonna need to see photo evidence of this. Oh no.
That's your standard white guy white guy haircut.
Brad, you had the same haircut as a Florida shock jock pedophile.
Sideburns and all.
Disaster. That's a haircuttery haircut, Brad.
Where do you think I was going?
Yeah, okay, that's what I was.
Not a barbershop, that's for sure.
No, you were not. Like, can I just get the Flobee, like the number one on the Flobee? All right, that's cool. No, this guy needs to go to prison, man.
Apparently, Gates went on like the fucking Steve Bannon like overthrow government podcast the other day and went on an unsolicited rant about charges against him. Like it wasn't even prompted. He just, you know, he felt the need to yell about it a little bit,
which always makes you seem super innocent, dude.
Definitely tells me that you're not at all bothered or shook by this whatsoever when you feel the need to bring it up out of the blue and yell about it for 5 minutes.
I'm here for it, man. I'm here for this guy going to prison. Matt Gaetz, the day they indict him is going to be fucking awesome. It's going to be awesome because he's going to be like, no, it's all bullshit. It's like, oh, it's not. Here are the details.
He'll be like, oh, I'll surrender myself. Be like, nah, bro. Like, we'll see you in Congress. We're gonna perp walk your ass out of the fucking Capitol.
That's what I would
into the car. So
that's what I would do. Like, it's for pedophilia, dude. Like, you tried to, or statutory rape, however you want to play that. I would argue it's pedophilia. No, I'd try to get authorization to do a perp walk. That's what I'd want. Perp walk his ass. Look, frankly. Congress, you know, doing a perp walk out of Congress is out of the Capitol. That's pretty substantial, obviously. I feel like doing a perp walk out of his house while he's still in a bathrobe, even better. Even better. Feels meaner to me. Like a early no-knock raid. Just kick a door in, grab that guy.
You know
what?
I would rather have that. Like, I'd rather than bust in his door at 5 a.m. and Roger Stone his ass.
Yeah. Camera in his face like it's a show Cheaters. Right, like that's what I want.
Chris Hansen, what are you doing here? we're here to catch a pedophile, Matt. It's you.
It's you, it turns out. What? I just brought a 6-pack of beer. I thought she was older. No, you didn't. Dude, those guys, and never forget the story from that. Those guys were having sex with her, found out she was underage, and was like, that's cool. Let's stop. Waited till she turned 18 and then called her back. It was like, let's start fucking again. Those guys are scumbags. Those guys are horrendous scumbags. Like,
just a little bit.
Right. Like, I can, like, and I'm not giving any excuse for it, but like, if you thought she was of age, by the way, how old could she possibly have been? She probably looked mad fucking young anyway. But let's say she looked like she was 25. Let's say. I don't know what she looks like. Let's say. If you slept with her and it's like, and she says like, oh, no, I'm above age. And you slept with her and you come to find out, oh, shit, she's 17. That's horrible. And like, nobody wants to be in that position. And like, you could at least make an argument like the guy didn't know. Right. Like, all right, that's fucked up. The guy didn't know. But when you go, hey, call me back when you turn 18, nah, yo, nah. That like, that's like, what's the term? Mens reis, right? Like, that's like understanding that you're guilty. You know what you did is fucked up, so you're like, ah, let's wait till 18, and then let's get back to banging. Like, nah, yo, knock it off. Like, knock it off. That's fucked up. But my guess is they knew the whole time. Yeah. And then someone was like, somebody's going to find out. And they were like, oh, okay. You got to go over there for 6 months. And we'll
But again, like, not to make light of this situation, but if you were to show me, like a mugshot, but like, you know, they have the 6-packs on the cop shows. Give me a 6-pack, but with everyone in Congress. And you say, point to the person that you think is most likely to have had an inappropriate relationship with a 17-year-old girl. Like, you would pick out Matt Gaetz immediately. Like, he would be your...
Oh, he's top three. Top three.
Yeah, he'd be your top three picks.
Yeah, absolutely.
Just by looking at it.
Yeah, he looks like a sex pest. He does. Yeah. He does. He's a creep. And he's from Florida, so, you know, makes sense.
In his words, a true Florida man.
Yeah, he, He is. He is. He needs to get this guy's same haircut. Then he'll be a true Florida man. Good Lord. That is not okay. All right,
he's trying to rock that fucking like Henry Hill haircut from Goodfellas, but just enhanced to a higher degree.
It is not working. It is not working for him. U.S. offers no concessions in response to Russia on Ukraine. Look, this is a big deal. This is a huge story. Actually, I hate that we're doing this as late in the episode as we are. Basically, Russia is all but certain to invade Ukraine. They are amassing like 100,000 men on the Russian-Ukrainian border, ready to roll, son, which they will take over that country within days, right? Like, I mean, they just will. You know, their firepower is nuts. And the rest of the world is watching this happen and trying to figure out what to do. Obviously, Ukraine is not not in NATO.
They're a NATO ally, but they're not a member of NATO. Yes.
Right.
They want to be.
They want to be, right? Like, again, yeah. I cannot recommend this enough. Watch the documentary Winter on Fire on Netflix, where Ukraine was supposed to join the European Union. And
it's a good primer for everything that's happened in the past. You know, it's a good primer to understand like where the base was laid,
right,
with this whole conflict. And there hasn't been a ton of tangible movement after the annexation of Crimea,
right?
Essentially, which was back in 2014. But Russia's been slowly built, like you mentioned, slowly building up forces on the Ukrainian border. In a massive kind of like pissing contest with the rest of the world, because the problem for Vladimir Putin is that I truly don't think that he desires strongly to, like, you know, bring Ukraine back into the you know, back into the orbit of the newly formed Soviet Union or anything like that. What he really wants is Ukraine to not be in any which way a part of NATO, because he doesn't want any NATO members literally sitting on his back door.
Right. Well, yes and no. I think you're right about the NATO part. I don't necessarily agree that he doesn't want Ukraine. Like, I think he also wants Ukraine. But I think the issue of NATO is stronger.
Yeah. I think he understands that taking Ukraine would it, like if he full scale tried to occupy the entire country and kind of bring that into, you know, for lack of a better term, the quote unquote Russian orbit,
right,
as it were, that would invite like a strong response, because you're essentially running the playbook back from, you know, from Stalinist expansion,
right,
you know, era Cold War, like and so like the world I don't think would sit idly by if they saw that starting to happen. Like Crimea, like was just like kind of like hit, like the raptor hitting the, or the, you know, the raptor hitting the fence, basically just to see what would happen. Mm-hmm. And so I think that this is going to be another like fence hitting ordeal, because Putin does not want a full scale armed conflict with the West. Like that would also be incredibly bad for Russia as well.
Well, here's the thing. And this goes to the article. They're basically like the U.S. And it's so funny because I saw an article that like someone editorialized the headline like on Reddit, and they like said the exact opposite of what the article said. And people were like, that's not what the article says at all. The Biden administration and NATO told Russia on Wednesday there will be no U.S. or NATO concessions on Moscow's main demands to resolve the crisis over Ukraine. In a separate writing, responses delivered to the Russians, the U.S. and NATO held firm to the alliance's open door policy for membership. That's important to understand. Rejected a demand to permanently ban Ukraine from joining, and said allied deployments of troops and military equipment in Eastern Europe are non-negotiable. Quote: "There is no change. There will be no change," Secretary of State Blinken said. Also not up for negotiation will be the U.S. and European response to any Russian invasion of Ukraine, he said, repeating the mantra that any such incursion would be met with massive consequences and severe economic cost. Russia cannot afford to have Europe and the United States put down massive amounts of sanctions. It simply cannot.
It would be very bad for them. And it's ironic because, again, the whole reason – so Putin is trying to flex hard power because he wants to gain a tremendous amount of soft power. Yeah. And because he has no soft power, he's not able to ward off what the turmoil that would follow economic sanctions. Like, to the point where, like, the U.S. considering not giving them access to the dollar at all. And considering it, like, limiting the importation of, like, tech devices, like, you know, smartphones and tablets and things of that nature into the country.
Oh, well, like, look, I hate to say this because obviously it would hurt and devastate Russian citizens who don't want this shit, right? Like, they didn't sign up for this. It's like, this is fucked up. But at the same time, like, guess what, dog? Like, you're getting ready to feel this pain, you better get your boy in line. The GDP in Russia is pretty pretty low. Actually, no, I guess it's up. It's the sixth highest. But per capita, it's the 55th. Like, it's not like they don't do particularly well. Like, their economy is generally shit. So, I don't think they're not in a good place to fight economically. They could fight hard, like you said, they could fight hard on hard power, but you really want to get into a pissing match with fucking the US? Yo, we haven't been able to cut loose on anybody, like, for real in a long time. Right? Because we keep, like, picking fights with people way smaller than us, and it's like, oh man, we can't use everything, it seems fucked up. We could throw down with your ass. Like, we could.
Yeah, but
we don't want that
secret. I don't think we really want to.
No, like, we don't. Really, Russia and the US don't really want to have to come to blows. That's why we've been constantly doing these proxy battles since the 80s, really? I mean,
before that, what are you talking about?
Well, that's
Vietnam
true.
Vietnam was a proxy war.
That's true. That's true.
You know, like there's been, you know, been a lot of proxy conflict,
right,
throughout Russia and U.S. history in the past century. So
right, so it's like this idea of, do we want to, like, actually, like, get it on? I don't think we really do.
We really don't. So. Yeah, we like I said, we want to use soft power to avoid having to use hard power, and Putin wants to use hard power to achieve soft power, so that
he would love to have, right.
Yeah, that's what he wants, is he wants to build as much soft power as he can, so in the future he can start again trying to do egregious shit, but not be as crippled by it, you know, from a financial and economic standpoint. Like, that's the big thing.
Right, like, the U.S. is not. No one is ever going to say, "All right, cool, we're going to cut. We're going to do sanctions on the U.S." And the U.S. is like, "Okay, you sure about that? We're not gonna bring our products over there. We're the ones who buy all your shit. Are you sure you want to do this?
You're fine." And the good news is that everyone, you know, then kind of worries, like, if we start, you know, beefing with Russia, like, "Oh, China's getting involved." China does not want to get involved with anybody. China wants to sit back. Make money. Like, that's all.
Well, China would love to watch the U.S. and Russia destroy itself.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. Absolutely. What do they care? Like, great.
And then pick up the pieces.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, spoiler alert, a lot of people don't know this. China's priority right now is taking over Africa. That is their entire priority, is milking that place for every fucking resource it can, which will definitely become a thing in the next couple of years, where people go, "There's a lot of Chinese people in Africa. What the fuck is going on?" Yeah, that's why. It's sort of an interesting thing, the Ukrainian situation. You and I talked before going on, hitting record. Germany doesn't want to get super involved because they have a natural gas pipeline from Russia. And Russia's basically like, "We will shut that shit off in the middle of winter. Yeah. Don't fuck around." And Germany was like,
"Well, that's right." Where it gets tricky, because, like, you know, because we don't really have any business dealings with Russia, like, the U.S. can afford to be like, yeah, fuck you guys. We'll just fucking cut your tab off. Allies in Europe are a little bit more cautious because, like you said, the one export that Russia does have that is actually a big deal in Europe, especially, is natural gas. Like, that's the one thing that they do that basically props up their economy. And so, you know, it would not be good for them to limit the flow of that. You would see very similar things to what we see whenever, you know, shit pops off in the Middle East and then all of a sudden gas prices are 50 cents higher at the pump like the next day. So that's what they don't want.
Yeah, that is not good. But it does put a lot of European countries over a barrel. And I think that was the plan, right, is to make it so that they are so dependent on Russian natural gas that you wouldn't dare get in their way when they try to do something. So,
well, again, all in an effort to bring Russia into the fold, like after the fall of the Soviet Union, like that kind of thing. It's just ironic how, you know, the right thing to do, you know, ends up backfiring on you in certain situations like this, where now you get another fucking wannabe strongman leading that country, wanting to make it more like it was. So,
well, he's going to be leaving soon. I don't expect much to change. But at least
I would imagine whoever replaces him will be his handpicked successor and pretty much follow the same beat. Though I would be surprised if he was able to find someone that was as competent as Putin is. Cause like Putin, for the disadvantages that Russia has as a country, is like a hyper competent leader when it comes to this stuff. Like, he's really good at stirring this pot and getting exactly what he wants out of this stuff. So I would find it really difficult to find someone that's that influential in moving the ball forward over.
Yeah, I don't know. I think it would be tough. I think it would be tough to find someone who is as equally evil and competent as he is. And, you know, he had Medvedev, and, you know, it could be him, I suppose, but I don't think that guy maneuvers nearly as well as Putin.
He sucked so much that, like, Putin was like, all right, tag me back in. Like, I'm the fucking president again. after sitting in the backseat as foreign minister or whatever position he held, like, Medvedev was there for a term and Putin's like, nah, fuck this. Like this ain't working. We're changing the constitution. Like, this shit ain't gonna fucking
So I get to just jump back and forth between positions. How convenient. And he's like, nah, I'm just the president for life. Don't worry about it. I'll leave when I'm ready. You got it, guys. You'll be fine. All right. So from there, let's talk This Week in Stupid. It's a fucking doozy. All right. Here you go, Brad. Tucker Carlson doing his thing. Ay, ay, ay. What has the world come to? Here we go.
The other big change is that the brown M&M has, quote, transitioned from high stilettos to lower block heels. Also less sexy. That's progress. M&Ms will not be satisfied until every last cartoon character is deeply unappealing and totally androgynous. Until the moment you wouldn't want to have a drink with any one of them. That's the goal. When you're totally turned off, we've achieved equity. They've won.
All right, Tucker. Good God. So, all right. The best part of this.
This is so stupid.
It is so stupid. The best part of this is that I get what he's trying to do. He's trying to come off as being sarcastic, right? Like, because I think some people are taking him as like being totally straight in his delivery. He's trying to come off as like sarcastic, like, oh, until we don't find them sexy. But what it does come off as, like, you're not good at this. So it comes off as like you're directly saying, like, I want to fuck these pieces of candy. Like, that's what it comes off as. It's like, very
how dare Eminem design mascots that you wouldn't want to go out and have a drink with, right? Right, fellas? Right? Am I right? It's am I like, right? Right?
I'm sorry, dude. I'm confused as to what side you're on here. It's a bit weird. So, like, because he always has this, like, bullshit kind of voice, even when he's trying to be sarcastic, it never comes off as that. It just comes off as him reading it straight. That being said, why do I give a fuck that Eminem is changing their their characters from having stilettos to lower block heels. Why do they have heels on at all? They're talking candies. Like, they don't, they shouldn't be male or female at all. Who gives a shit?
More importantly, Tucker Carlson, why do you care?
Thank you. That's like, the bigger question. Why do you care?
I mean, again, like, this is all in a very sad and pathetic effort to, like, tap dance over here while the January 6th commission and voting rights and stuff like that is happening in the real world. So again, like it's that thing, right? Where like, if you flip over, you know, on the cable news channels, like you go to MSNBC, they're talking about January, this new January 6th thing. If you go over to CNN, they're talking about the new January 6th thing. Go over to Fox. Why aren't Eminem sexy anymore?
Back in my day, we used to bang them. Like, all right, that seems weird. You open up a fresh pack of the Sharon pack, right? So you have enough. You just put your penis right in there and you just jostle them around. That's how Dad did it. So it's just,
I mean,
it's a bit
everyone
weird.
Everyone knows. Everyone knows, and you'd be lying at home if you said you didn't. Where you're at home by yourself and a little bored, and you grab a bag of M&Ms and take a handful and have some fun. Have some fun because they melt in your mouth, not anywhere else. Like, so obviously, very clear.
I mean, these are facts, Brad. These are facts. Yeah, it's just I just find it Spirit Halloween. That's funny. Okay, I just saw the message you sent. That's fucked up. But it's just, to me, it does say a lot about the avoidance of actually wanting to talk about real news, 100%. It also deals with this idea of being weirdly upset. Like, the M&Ms are like the obvious thing that he's talking about, but in actuality, what he's also digging at is the idea of like, why aren't women considered, like, have to be like hot to me in stiletto heels type of shit, right? Like, why do they want to like wear tennis shoes instead of like looking like a hot chick from the 1950s with her ass hanging out, right? For me, because I'm a man. I'm an alpha male. I'm a high value man, right? Like, that's also where all of this shit is coming from, is this idea of like, why aren't women into me? Like, why, like, back in my dad's day, they, you know, women were wanted to be with a real man like me on the news. And it's like, yeah, probably not, dude, because you're kind of a loser, right? Yeah. So, like, it's an interesting argument that he's making about like how society has changed, but he just comes off as being incredibly pathetic, even though if he was making that point directly, he would also seem incredibly pathetic. So it's
well,
just
and that's the funny thing, is that all these supposed like pro free market capitalists that just like think capitalism is just the bee's knees never seem to like it when capitalism like works the way that capitalism is supposed to work. Is like, right. M&M is a company who has a vested interest in marketing their product to literally as many people as they possibly can to make it as successful as possible. And if they have analyzed the fact that making their fucking cartoon mascots more normalized and less sexualized is going to be help them sell more candy, they're going to fucking do it, because that's what a good, smart capitalist company would fucking do, is they would market to the broadest possible audience possible. But like you said, Tucker Carlson's coming to the realization, and this is kind of the same thing that we've seen, especially over the last 5 or 6 years with right-wing people. These large companies that, you know, they want to be consumers of don't really want them as consumers, or at least they don't care enough about them to market to them.
So
so when that realization, like when that light bulb dawns in their head, all of a sudden it's an attack on conservatism, or it's an attack on PC culture, and you know, this sort of the other thing. And that's why you know we're fucking burning our, you know, $150 Nike shoes and throwing Keurig coffee makers off the fucking balcony of our apartments and all this other shit, because you're not the target demographic anymore, and that really fucking bothers.
I'm not going to use Penzi's spices anymore. You didn't use spice before. Shut up. Stop lying. Look, it's really quite funny and sad all at the same time. But it's like, dude, it's they're candies. They're candies. Like,
they're not even candies. They're candy cartoon mascots. Like it's like, who gives a shit?
Right. But like the other part of this is like, why did Eminem even think that having like the sexy Eminem made sense? It's weird. Like if you're trying to market to as many like people as possible, what you would do is you would make the female Eminem, like, the style is like, hey, I'm wearing like quote unquote feminine clothes, but I'm wearing like Jordans, right? Like at the same time, right? Like that's the style. Why wouldn't you do that? Right. So it's just kind of interesting, but Eminem can do whatever the fuck they want. They're a company. They're a private owned company. They're not a federal government.
I'm pretty sure they're a publicly owned company. In fact,
I'm sorry. Yes. Yeah. I'm sorry. Not private, but a publicly owned company, right? Like, they're allowed to do what they want. So who cares? But this obsession with losing ground from this 1950s ideal is what he's really arguing, right? Like,
yeah,
poor, woe is me, white males, high value males, as they call themselves. Any guy who says he's a high
themselves?
Dude, really? Any guy who calls himself a high value male is not. Isn't. Like, that's never true. Like, dude, you got Dorito dust on your beard. You're not a high value male. Shut up. But you know, these guys are lamenting on this. I would say ideal, but it's fake, right? It's based in a lie anyway, of like the 1940s and 50s, where these women were just like running to their beck and call and just love being around a real man, an alpha man. I'm like, no, they didn't, dude. Like, you were treating those women like dog shit, and they just did what they had to do to survive. So it's, you know, it's just one of those things. But like, that's what he's really talking about. He's not really talking about the M&Ms, though it seems hilarious and pathetic. He's actually talking about how sad it is that it couldn't be like how his dad had it back in the 50s, right? Like, that's all it is. Pathetic.
Yeah, and while you are 100% correct, at the same time, I'm pretty sure Tucker Carlson jerks it to cartoon M&Ms.
No, that's definitively correct. I mean, come on. Like, what show is this? Like, yes, that's all very true, but that dude definitely cranks his hog to whatever repeating Eminem commercial he's got on his Revo?
TiVo?
TiVo. Yeah, TiVo. Thank you. Do people still have that? I don't know. I don't know.
Some people still do. I bet you Tucker Carlson still has TiVo.
Oh my God, TiVo. Dude, just get streaming, you fucking loser. Get out of here. He's definitely cranking it to it. So there you go. Any other final words? Do we have any other
I don't think we can offer a more highbrow ending to the show than that, honestly.
I can. wait for it. Jeffrey Toobin from CNN, don't say anything. Jeffrey Toobin tweeted out on the 17th of this month, imminent Supreme Court retirement ? Favorites, Ketanji Brown Jackson from the DC Circuit Court, Laundra Kruger from the California Supreme Court. Long shot, VP Kamala Harris. Stay tuned at CNN News. And someone says, see, Jeffrey Toobin was right. Like, that did happen. And someone responded to that, going by the name James S. A. COVID, says, isn't that the guy who cranked his hog on a work Zoom? Dude, poor Jeffrey Toobin is never going to outlive that.
Nope.
That guy got
sad
caught.
But true.
Dude, why did they make that guy go on TV and apologize for jerking off during the Zoom call? That's fucked up. Do you feel bad about it? Yeah, I feel bad about it. I feel horrible about it. Can we please move on?
Stop talking about it, please.
Stop talking about me jerking off during a work Zoom. Oh man, yeah, you got to really make sure that app's closed, dude. You got to really make sure that app's closed. That's what I do. Anyway, just gotta make sure that app's closed. All right, That's it for us. A little bit shorter episode this week. Didn't get too crazy. But we will be back next week for another episode.
See ya.